Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. Bosky also does plumbing, roofing, and restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, certified financial planner. He is always reliable, and he's on the phone with us from nowhere land, not New Mexico. Brian, you're always traveling somewhere these days, aren't you?
It sure seems like it, but glad to be on the line with you today.
Well, I hope that you are safely traveling, and again, we were praying before the program here, and I really do appreciate the time, because this is an investment of time. You spend 10 minutes with us about three weeks a month, and then next week we'll have you for a whole hour, and it's always just really enlightening. Brian, today in the 10 minutes that we have, it looks like the markets continue to be overall positive, but I find something interesting. I have multiple emails that have come in since you appeared on the program here. I think a couple weeks ago you were on for an hour, and so these emails have come in since then, and you mentioned biotech stocks then. So a number of emails saying, hey, should we all be buying biotech stocks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think when you and I were talking about this before, you mentioned that to your surprise, you looked up some of those hot names in the biotech space, and some of them are actually down. So this is where people sometimes are disappointed as investors. So a lot of times people find out about a trend, whether in this case biotech stocks that may have vaccines for COVID. I mean, that seems like, of course, they'll go up if I buy them today. Or they look around and maybe they go to Costco and they see that it's packed and, man, that should be a stock I should buy. What people often forget or just don't understand is that the market is a very efficient pricing platform. And what I mean by that is it takes in new information in the marketplace. People buying and selling these shares of these companies, they absorb new information very quickly. So if you were to buy into, for example, a hot biotech stock today, all the news that you know about vaccine possibilities and higher profits is already priced in. So if you're going to buy it today in hopes of higher prices, you're really hoping for new information that has not yet come to light that would be positive. So you're hoping that maybe they make even more money than currently expected with vaccine, or they come out with another version of a vaccine that's even more effective or cost less or is easier to distribute. So the information that you know today is already priced in, so you're not going to necessarily participate on the uptick from that news.
Brian, another topic that seems to be dear to all of our hearts, and I want to qualify this question because you spend a lot of time on this program talking about the importance of giving and supporting our fellow man and taking care of people that don't have the privilege that others of us have, and the heart to give. You talk about the scriptural principles of giving, and we've had entire shows about that. So with that in mind, I thought it was interesting. I ran across an article on MarketWatch, an article by Sean Langlois, and it basically says this: 651 billionaires in the U.S. It's kind of hard to believe there's 651 of them. And I know that changes a little bit periodically, maybe up or down a few. But this article says that they have seen their collective wealth grow by more than $1 trillion over the past 9 months. And in the spirit of trying to help people with more stimulus money, which seems to be blocked in Congress somehow, and of course it's funny because half the articles you read say the Republicans are blocking it, and the other half of the articles you read say the Democrats are blocking it. But aside from all of that, I found this interesting in that Sean says in his article that if you take this $1 trillion and divide it by 330 million people, which is roughly the population of the United States, every family would get about $3,000. What do you think about that?
So this is a classic example of clickbait articles that often make their way into the financial sphere. And I believe MarketWatch, you said, is the source of that. And they mm-hmm. have some good articles, but they're also notorious for having fear-oriented or, in this case, class warfare-oriented articles. So the problem with their logic is they're assuming that these billionaires have, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars or $1 trillion of new net worth. It's just money in a bank account somewhere, and they can just write a check. But if you look closer at the article you're mentioning, they're actually measuring the net worth of these wealthy Americans based on the bottom of the market back in March. So for those of you who didn't follow the market closely, the market took about a 30% downturn in the month of March and bottomed on March 23rd. And so they're basically measuring just off the bottom. So the rise in wealth for this class is not a bunch of cash flow they receive by selling goods and services and putting it in their pocket. It's an increase in the value of the companies they own. So in order for them to do what is suggested here and give $1 trillion, they would have to sell all of their shares of their companies, or much of the shares of their companies, and liquidate their organizations and then give those proceeds. But in the process, that would spiral the stock market downward. It would have all kinds of other ripple effects and ramifications. So it's a very misleading article in many ways, in that it definitely did some very selective timing on how to show the net worth change and doesn't really give a realistic expression of how those high net worth folks could redistribute their wealth.
Brian, you are absolutely right. The math didn't add up to me. I have never done a math equation using a trillion as a number. And so I found that to be an interesting exercise. My calculator would only let me go to a billion. It wouldn't even go up to a trillion. So I had to add zeros and do different things. But I thought it was an interesting equation. And I thought the same thing that you just explained. If you take the bottom of the market, which was about a 30% drop from where these companies were before COVID, then, you know, you really only gained back, say, 70% gain. And it's like everybody's interested in spending someone else's money, and I'm just fascinated by that.
Well, one of the challenges is what we're talking about here is not an income tax, as we're used to talking about tax, but more of a wealth tax. And one of the challenges of a wealth tax, if you were to say we're going to value someone's total net worth and then assess a tax against that, is you have to have a consistent method for valuing net worth. Stocks are easy because they trade on a very transparent exchange, and I can price stocks by the second. But you start getting into businesses and real estate, things that maybe aren't priced quite so transparently on a day-to-day basis. How do you value those assets? And then how would someone actually liquidate those assets to, you know, raise the funds needed to pay that tax or to redistribute that wealth? So it makes for a good headline, and it helps them sell ads on their websites, but not exactly a realistic concept.
Yeah. Brian, this is way off script, but I'm just thinking about it because of late in Albuquerque, we have been dealing with legislation coming out of the city council, policy coming out of the city council that is wanting small employers to pay mandatory sick leave. We had about a year and a half ago or so, we had a minimum wage hike that actually takes effect, I believe, January 1st. And I guess I'm trying to figure out, isn't this really just a math problem? If you're going to require McDonald's, for example, to pay people $2 more an hour for minimum wage, that just doesn't mean those people are making $2 more and that's really going to benefit them. It means that McDonald's is somehow going to absorb that $2 more an hour by charging more for their goods. And isn't there some standard of math that we can all count on and go, look, this is the equation. This is not a Democrat-Republican thing. This is the way the numbers work.
Yeah. And what we talk about all the time with our clients is the simple concept of trade-offs. And I feel like if there was ever, a standard I'd like to put out for politicians is that anytime they propose a recommendation or a new policy, they should also have to discuss the trade-offs, known and potential trade-offs. So in this case, yes, the trade-offs would be, yes, we would like to increase wages. Increased wages traditionally increases costs of goods and services, which increased wages is the primary driver historically of inflation. So it's not necessarily a bad thing on its own, but we just have to be able to always understand the trade-offs. And so often politicians lead with what they think people want to hear and the good things and leave out the trade-offs. And I think it's so important to be honest about what are the downsides of our policies. It does not mean that the downsides outweigh the upsides. Mm. It just gives us a more honest way to look at a policy like that.
Well, I 100% agree with you, Brian. And I know you're not making a political statement, but I'm kind of making a political statement because I 100% agree with you. But I don't understand how our New Mexico legislature, for example, can approve legislation like they did last January to put in place an early childhood development bill of over $300 million with absolutely no plan for how that money was to be spent before it was approved. Again, playing off your point, the pros and cons, and there needs to be research on how and where this is working in other places in the country. So, Brian, as always, I'm blessed by what you have to say to us. I hope wish you safe travels as you're getting back to Albuquerque this weekend. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you.